only knew how hard that is to make it sound that good. Excellent. Thank you all so much for sharing your gifts. We're continuing our sermon series on Paul's letter to the church of the Colossian people. I got to tell you, we're almost to the point where you've read a whole book of the Bible. You show up next week here or online, and you will check that off your list. You've read a whole book, or maybe an audiobook, because I've read it to you each and every week. But this week, again, Paul is reminding the people of the church who they're called to be, how they should live their lives. Last week, we talked about the fullness in Christ. And this week, we're going to be talking about some practical ways that we can do that. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calmness of our minds, in the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. I ask that I move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So I'm going to start again by reading this scripture, and then we're going to go back and take it piece by piece. This is verse 3, 1 through 11 is where we're going to start tonight. My Bible titles it, The New Life in Christ. As I'm reading, write down or think about words that are a part of this scripture that pierce your heart. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things of this earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming to those who are disobedient. Those that are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and you have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek nor Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's go step by step and figure out what we just heard. In the beginning, it talks about Christ's revelation and Christ's glory, right? Naming who God is. When I was studying the scripture this week, I thought, I need to get better at that. I pray to God, I give devotion to God, but I don't start by naming who God is. What a beautiful way to start the day. To put your head above and looking up. Do you know why? That's why churches spend so much time thinking about their ceilings. Look up. It's beautiful, right? Because that is what our heart is supposed to do. What do we do in the culture that we're in right now, though? There's some college campuses that are now going phone free on campus. And you see such a difference. Listen, I am not shaming anybody. I will walk across the parking lot looking at my phone. I'm actually starting a new practice, and I've stopped wearing my Apple Watch. Went old school. Can't really read it without readers, but it's fine. It's there. looking up. That's how this scripture starts, reminding us of who we're called to be. Because I want you to remember of who Paul is writing to. He's writing to people who are living in a community that are in a time of transition. They know what being Christian should look like, but they also have to go to the market and be friends with their neighbors and figure out how to do this new life. And it continues in then verse 4, where he connects Christ of earthly things, like of what we try to consume here on earth. Then he talks about our poor behaviors. Not only does he talk about them, but he lists them not once, but twice. Not to judge us, not to condemn us, not to shame us, but to remind us the way we used to live and the way that we are now called to live. He's not telling the people of this church they can't go to the market and they can't be friends with their neighbors. But they do need to conduct themselves a bit differently through Christ, which is how this verse ends, and I just got to say it all, who is in all for all. So, after he lists our poor behaviors twice, he then reminds us that we are a new self clothed in Christ. Thanks be to God, right? Because leaving life to our own accord, not putting its center in Christ, not looking up to what is new, when you look down, you stumble, you fall. When you look down, you don't see the amazing people who are sitting next to you in your row. When you look down, you don't see this beautiful building where we are surrounded both by beautiful stained glass, some pretty good-looking people, and some nature that makes you forget that you're in the middle of Plano. You gotta look up and see where you're at. But when all that earthly stuff is around you, you've gotta remember who you're called to be. And he talks then about how classes have vanished. There is no matter this or that or Greek or Jew, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Because again, the class system is a very important system in society, especially then. We can talk about now over dinner. But right here, it's separated purposefully and intensely so people did not gather together. But Paul's telling them different. That we are all part of the family of Christ because we have put on Christ. You know, that's the word for baptism, right? When you're baptized, that means you're putting on Christ. Last week we did a baptism at 11 o'clock traditional, and it was a young man. He was probably in second or third grade. He was so proud. He was so proud. And we had gone over the questions beforehand, and I started asking the first question. I didn't even get out the full question. I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" He goes, "Yes!" And I just thought, oh, what joy to have that kind of excitement. I think there was a little nerve standing in front of people, but he was so excited. And we gave him, it's called a holding cross, and it fits in the palm of your hand, and we gave him a holding cross. And he said, "Oh, I use fidget toys." I said, "Well, this can be your new fidget toy. And anytime you put your hands around it, you can be reminded that God loves you." And he just sat up, a little bit prouder. a little bit stronger. And I just thought, isn't that what Christ does for all of us? Paul isn't asking them to completely change everything about everything they do. He's asking them, I kind of thought about it as I read again and again, this is a reboot, right? I don't know about you, but if my TV doesn't work, my phone's acting weird, my computer isn't working, what do? I turn it off, I count to 10, and I turn it back on. And it magically starts working again, most of the time. That's what this letter's about. Just a reboot. Reminding you of who you are. So as you walk to your car tonight, as the cold air has come in, look around you. Don't look down. As you are walking around your neighborhood, or you're interacting with a friend at work, notice and see who they are. You're going to be able to tell if they're having a good day or a bad day. Sometimes they just need a little hug. The history of this is talking about a new order. And we're going to move on to later in Scripture, verses 3, 18 through 25. Listen, y'all, I started my day at the confirmation retreat preaching on Isaac and Abraham and the sacrifice of his son at 10 a.m. That's something I didn't really want to preach on, but it turned out to be such a beautiful lesson for these parents and children to hear about fully relying and trusting in God, because God will provide. Well, here's the second code and part of Scripture that even isn't in my, I have several books that I read during the week. This was omitted from the book. So hear now this. This is Colossians 3, 18 through 25. It says it is a rule for a Christian household. If you talk to, like, the Christian people, they call it the household codes, okay? Before I read it, I want you to know the history again of where these people are. They're in Roman times, and every household should kind of look like a little Roman empire, right? So you have, essentially, in that empire, you got a king, you got a wife, or wives, and you have servants. Okay? And it's telling how you should interact together. So Paul naming these things helps people listen and understand, because they already get this. They already get that this is how life should be. But what we don't pay attention to is the fullness of this scripture, the richness of this scripture. So hear now the word of God. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. I have no problem with that. That feels like how we should conduct our marriages. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. I want you to notice how these sentences are ending. Fathers, do not provoke your children so they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only being watched in order to please them, but wholeheartedly doing all that you do in the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves to it, as is done for the Lord, and not your masters. Since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritances of your reward, you serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoers will be paid back for whatever wrong has been done. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, for you know that you will have a master in heaven. The reason that we avoid preaching on this section of this letter is because it's been used a lot in what I like to call needlepoint theology, where you take one verse of the Bible, you put it on a postcard, a bumper sticker, or a pillow, and you declare that that is how it should be. But you must read the fullness of Scripture. You must understand what this is saying. This is saying that you need to see each other, respect each other, love each other. Why? For the Lord. I don't know about you, but my household is a team. Now, it's Dana and I right now, but let's pretend like we're back when the boys were here in high school. It did not run just because of me. I can pretend that I did all the things. I didn't do all the things. Might have organized all the things and shopped for all the things, but I didn't do all the things. Right? The boys did their laundry. Dan and I tag team on our good days and our bad days on how to parent well. The boys helped with chores and helped doing things. We were a team that worked together, that respected each other, knew each other, and lifted each other up when we needed it the most. I think about their football team. What if the offensive coach and the defensive coach never talked to each other? That wouldn't work out well when you came to the field. What if worship, the team I have the honor and privilege of working with, never talked to children's ministry? And we're just doing our own thing because we're both really good at it and we don't have to see or look at each other. It might work, but it's not how God calls us to live in unity and harmony with each other. This letter in Colossians isn't telling wives to submit to their husbands. It's saying respect your husbands. Okay. It's also telling husbands to respect their wives, which in this day and time is a revolution. And children in this day and time weren't really seen as humans, they were seen as objects. And so for this letter to tell fathers not to taunt their children was huge. This book in the Bible is another book that flips the script, that reminds us that we are not here on earth to succumb to earthly things. We are to put our heads up and notice the God who created us, who loves us, who is always seeking a relationship for us. At the beginning of this, I said, listen to the words. Are there any words that came out? This is what I highlighted. Seek. Set your mind. God is revealed. Put to death. Get rid of. Clothe yourselves for renewal. Obey. I don't like that word, but it's important to understand what it means. It is respect. It is. My children were called to obey me. I am called to obey my boss. I am called to obey my husband. I am called to obey my friends out of love and respect and ultimately devotion to God. Do not provoke. And then I highlighted obey again because I needed to. But wholeheartedly fearing the Lord, this is it. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your master. Whatever you do this week, don't do it for your boss. Don't do it for your husband. Don't do it for your friend. Do it for the Lord and see how that changes how you get things done. For I know when I put the Lord at the center, I'm better. When I let go control that I so desperately need in my life and give it to the Lord, everybody around me is better. You will also have a master in heaven. But how I want to end today is that God and Christ is in all for all. How can you not get behind that sentence? It means it's for you and you and you and the person at work that drives you crazy. And here's the gift of this. He's for you each and every day. Not just when you're good. Not just when you're desperate for his love and compassion, but every single day of your life. So, tells us how to live. It doesn't demand it. It reminds us who we're called to be. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, we are so thankful. We're thankful for your scriptures and your words. Tonight, I'm great and thankful for this community of people who stop what they're doing in their busy days and come to listen, to learn, to refocus, reorder, and be reminded of who you have called us to be. And they don't do this alone. They do it in a community who is seeking your love and your guidance. As we go out this week, I ask that you remind each and every one of us that no matter what the task we are doing, that we are doing it out of obedience and respect and love, ultimately for you. And for that, we will forever be grateful. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.